Oh, hey,
it's not how we do it. It's not how we do it.
This is how we do it.
Oh, oh shit. What the
this
fuck?
This is how we do it.
Just leave. Huh? That's right. South Central.
I forgot the song.
Take it up on the west side. This is how we do it.
Dude, last night,
my wife goes, that song was playing on Sonos, and she goes, this is the same Montel that had the TV show, right? And I go, No, that's Montel Williams.
I, for a moment, had that confused. Even back in the day, I was like, wow, Montel Williams is fucking badass.
Yeah.
I was like, look at that motherfucker. He's got the show, and he's got this hot dance song.
Yeah.
And then I was like, and that's not
that
true.
That would have been amazing.
It would have been way better if it was Montel Williams.
Yeah.
What is it? South Central does it like nobody does.
Yeah. This is how we do it.
Dude, that shit was my kind of a little bit of my jam for a minute.
That was your jam, Mike.
I liked it. I liked that one when I used to wear slacks. Well, we're going to talk to Keith. Charlie, I'm going to turn this over to you and try not to gibber over you while you talk.
No, please, gibber away. We're here today. We're back, and we're gonna get to know Keith a little better.
Hi.
Find out about where he came from, how he got here, and all the madness that happened along the way.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
We're just waiting for Danny to get back from. Okay. I think he's getting an espresso.
Oh.
My name is Keith. I'm a Capricorn.
Hmm.
And I like grape soda.
I love grape soda.
Yeah.
I think we've literally talked about grape soda.
On the show?
I wonder if we have.
Maybe.
My God, I love it. It's my favorite fruit-flavored soda. Second is strawberry.
I have talked about this with you.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Fanta.
Yeah. Fanta's good, but that Welch is grape, man. That Welch is grape.
Yeah.
That's the fucking opus one of grape soda right there. That is a beautiful...
Welch.
The Chateauneuf de Pape of grape soda.
Did you guys start already?
Yeah, we're just
a little rambling.
Bit. We're just rolling.
You talking about Fanta?
We're talking about grape soda. Do you have a particular? Do you like grape soda?
No.
Okay, got it.
But
do you like any fruit flavored sodas?
Not necessarily. I'm trying not to like drink soda. Well, I remember my first time ever drinking a soda. You know, there wasn't like a weird.
No,
like,
I don't drink it anymore. Yeah, Are you kidding me? I'd get diabetes immediately.
But was it in America the first time you had
No. My dad, like, on New Year's Eve, brought home, like, two bottles of Fanta, you know? And I was like, whoa.
Which is unheard of, right?
Unheard, you know? Yeah. I was like, wow, this is so good, you know? I think it was strawberry and maybe orange, you know?
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Definitely not grape.
Yeah.
And this is in the Ukraine?
Yeah.
You know what Danny said when he walked in? This is how we do it.
Bum, ba, bum, bum. In the Ukraine, they do it like nobody does. Yeah. In the Ukraine, it's a party where there's when there's soda.
Oh, man.
Hey, I got half a can of Diet Pepsi. It's on, dog.
Pepsi Cola.
Pepsi's. Yeah. Pepsi's.
There's all sorts of shit now, right, Danny?
Oh, yeah. Dude, I went back, Aston Martin dealerships and sushi restaurants and shit.
Yeah. You were like, wait. Wait a second. What happened? I left here, this was a different thing.
I mean, I had the best Vietnamese food I've ever had in my life in Kiev, which is like bananas. You know?
It's all going to keep going that way because the film business is all moving there.
Yeah.
To Kiev?
Yeah. There's people are shooting commercials there. Tom Cruise is just there scouting for his new movie.
Dude, Seagal's already got an apartment there. You know that. Seagal's totally got an apartment with a dungeon there already.
Is he popular over there, Danny?
I don't know. I mean, one would think. You know? Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
All right.
But anyway, today's all about Keith.
Okay.
All about Keith.
Part-time legend, full-time porn star.
Is that right?
Not really. Okay.
Where were you born? Where were you born originally?
I was born in Jacksonville Beach, Florida. And I moved to California when I was 12 into a two-bedroom apartment in West Covina. And I lived right below the hill. So it was a lot like the Karate Kid. Like, you know, like the kids in the hills had money and shit, you know? And except I wasn't, you know, I didn't know karate like Ralph Macchio.
Yet.
But I did have a weird childhood. I was always told my dad died before he was born. I just found out it was somebody else through that 23andMe thing like a month ago.
We heard all about this.
Oh, shit. I'm just shut down by Charlie. Mike Wallace
is here.
No, that's incredible. And you went back there and visited him?
Yeah, I went and met all of them. I have like four halves. They're all great. They're really great people, you know. But I moved here when I was 12, which is, you know, quite a culture shock. This is in the 80s. And, you know, it was just me and my mom. And, you know, I started smoking weed. And you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you kind of find, you know, when you feel different, you kind of find the other dudes that feel different, you know?
Yeah.
You felt different just because you were from somewhere else?
Felt different because I was from somewhere else. I felt different because I didn't ever have a dad. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, at that time, like, there wasn't a lot of single parents, I don't think, you know, that I knew.
Yeah.
It wasn't hip to be a single
parent. No, it wasn't hip. But it was a culture shock to move here.
This is something you and I share, by the way, just real quick.
Yeah?
We are bastard children.
That's right.
I love it. I forgot about that.
But...
Yeah, Mike, you're adopted. I don't know if we got into that.
Yeah, we got another app. But yeah, I was adopted, and I am a bastard child. No. My mom would hate to hear me say that.
Yeah.
But I used to joke about it all the time. Whenever I'd really want to get under my poor poor dear mother's skin, I'd be like, "I'm sorry, I'm a bastard." I think I did it once, and she was like, "Do not play that shit with me."
Fuck.
Anyway,
I mean, I always wanted to be somewhere else or someone else. You know what I mean? My whole life. You know, I got in a lot of fights and shit like that. I started going to juvenile halls and stuff when I was like 15. So I was in and out of juvenile halls during my high school years, but I think I have fairly good people skills. So I've survived. I didn't live at home from when I was 15. You know, I would just live at friends' houses or whatever, you know, when I wasn't in juvenile hall or boys' home or camp or whatever. I'm trying to think the first time I ever did, I guess, a hard drug was I get it mixed up. I think I did cocaine when I was 14. Me and some friends of mine I went to junior high school with, one of our friends' older brothers had it. But it was literally like, I think we did a couple of lines, that was the end of it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I became a daily drinker when I was in high school.
What was your drink of choice?
Beer, really. Beer.
Yeah.
And I don't really like the taste of beer. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you that either. But I drank a lot of beer, you know, and also kind of like went on with what we were like the punk rock shit and all that. Everybody drank beer, really shitty beer, you know, like Milwaukee's Best and Meisterbrau and Lucky Lager, that kind of shit.
Milwaukee's Best is fucking urine.
Yeah.
That stuff is awful. I bought a 12 pack of that once thinking I was getting old Milwaukee. Different.
Yeah.
Different.
Because it's owned by Budweiser. So we had this theory. We thought it was like the shit they scrape off the bottom.
Yeah, right.
Or something. Because it doesn't taste as good, you know?
No.
It does the job. It gets you where you want to go, but.
Yeah. And you would drink every day?
Yeah.
In high school?
Yeah. Me and my friend Lonnie would drink. Well, I mean, there was a group of us.
Yeah.
Me and my friend Lonnie, my friend Joel. I mean, maybe like 1 or 2 days a year we wouldn't drink.
Yeah.
Because we're just like too beat. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Be like hungover.
The high holidays. Yeah.
Yeah. And somewhere along the line, actually, I forgot. Lonnie was always like hungover and shit. And he got in this thing where he started drinking Robitussin while we were drinking.
Oh, wow.
Like he would drink Robitussin. And not like codeine Robitussin, just I think regular Robitussin. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it wasn't a prescription thing. So I'm not.
You never did that?
What?
Robo tripping?
No.
It's a thing. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. You ever do it?
No. No. I remember that was not around.
I had a friend in college do it like one night, and I remember going to the bathroom, and he was like in there, like his back had all broken out in hives and was all red, and he was like fucking tripping out. And
you get super itchy on it.
Like, really?
Yeah.
You get fucked up from Robitussin?
Yeah, I did it once.
Oh, he drank it. That makes sense because he would drink it every day. I mean, this is for years.
Yeah.
And I remember we'd be coming out to Hollywood and shit. I mean, fucking hammer. I can't believe we didn't kill someone. You know, he would always be dry. Yeah, he'd be throwing.
How much would you be drinking? Like, how much would you guys drink?
a case and a half a day, maybe, between us. Okay. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Fair. We would drink beer. Other yeah. shit, too. Like, you know, we'd buy a bottle of whiskey or something here and there. Not all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But quite often. But it was drinking whiskey, you know, with beer or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, but, like, fuck, man, I couldn't tell you the last time I enjoyed drinking. You know what I mean? It was pretty early on.
Yeah.
Like, I thought.
It got extreme quick.
Yeah. I mean, anything to make me feel different than Keith. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is what I was looking for.
Oh, yeah.
And I would do other drugs. First time I did speed, I think I was 14 or 15. It was at a bowling alley. I remember that. But this is before it was real popular. There wasn't a lot of speed around, you know? It was very hard to come by. And then this is the 80s.
Yeah.
And then I had other, you know, I had friends get into, like, you know, I smoked cocaine all night one night. And then that's the one thing where I'm like, I'm never doing that again. That's fucking awful, you know?
Yeah.
Because it just makes your problems like fucking tenfold. But so I was a daily drinker, fuck, I don't know, from 16 or 17, I guess, on. And then I guess I was like 21 or 22. You know, like I got arrested a lot behind things that I did when I was drinking. Like, I've never been arrested for something not loaded. You know what I mean? Like, but usually it's I'm drinking right. and I make some poor decision. You know what I mean? Like, getting in a fight, somebody hurt somebody or fucking threatening somebody or whatever the case may be. And when I was 21, I was hammered and fucking me and my friend beat this guy up. A very cowardly act, by the way. Like, you know, like he didn't deserve it, number one.
Yeah.
We thought he did at the time. I mean, you know what? In hindsight, I mean, I think we thought he did. You know what I mean? Like, it was a weird situation. But one of his friends had shot this friend of ours' boyfriend or something. And they were like wannabe gangsters or whatever in my eyes, you know? And I did that. That's how it came about. Anyway, me and my friend beat this guy up and he ended up in the hospital or whatever. He's okay now. But then I went to the county jail, but I was like, I'd taken a plea deal. And while I was out, that's when I really got into speed as a habit. Like, I would do it before. It's weird. I did a little run of it for a few months, like in San Dimas when I lived in these apartments. These friends of mine, they were repo men. Mm. And they would go out at night repoing cars. I would go with them. And like, sometimes I'd get it. Sometimes they not, but it's weird. We would do it. I drank so much that, you know what I mean? I would do it, but then if I didn't have it, I'd just be drinking. You know what I mean? I wasn't like going out to hustle for it. And then when it got really popular, like in the early 90s, is when I got into selling it. Cause, you know, I could never have a fucking job or anything like that. I was just fucked up all the time. And that opened a whole new, you know what I mean? Right. Whole new fucking can of worms. Cause once again, you know, speed's great the first few times you do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, fuck.
It's like, but it's not really great when you're doing it. But, you know.
You're kind of chasing that first time.
Yeah, you're always chasing exactly, that. Yeah.
Yep.
Like, I would even say, like, you know, if you get busted, you know, and you're busted for even fucking like, you know, a month or 6 months or something like that. When you get out, it's fun the first time again. Mm-hmm. But you never get back to that, you know. And also, nope. Like, you're awake a lot. So your life is a lot. There's a lot more going on because you're, you know what I mean? You're staying awake for fucking days at a time and. You know, hallucinating and shit and stealing.
Making new friends.
Yeah, building bridges.
making new friends. Making new objects down in the basement.
With this new friend.
Yeah.
Friends.
Yeah, look. Yay.
This is how sad it was. I remember I would fucking, I would be fucked up. Like, say me and Danny are, you know, on a run or whatever, but Danny's like, fucking, I got to do, my girlfriend wants me to come home or whatever. But cool, but I call Mike, and I can't get a hold of Mike. I call you, Charlie, and I can't get a hold of him. I've done this several times. I'd be like, fuck, because I don't want to be alone, you know? Okay. And I'd fucking go to the 24-hour Walmart, you know, in the middle of the night, because I'm like,
oh, yeah.
You're going to find a tweaker there, you know?
Meet Chalice, right?
That's where I found, found Richie and Chalice. I rekindled it.
TBT.
Yeah, but I'd also go there, and I'd be looking for, you know, and if I didn't see somebody I knew, I'd just start looking for somebody sketchy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, right. to go on. It's wild when you think, like, because I've been arrested a lot of times, a decent amount of times on drunk, but a lot of times on, you know, on speed. And it's weird, man. Like, I never really was like, fuck, I got to get it together. Mm. One time I got out and stayed with my friend Kenny, and like had a job and all that kind of shit. You know what I mean? And but usually, you know, I just get out and go on a run, and then my friend Tony and whatever, they beat me up and made me go to rehab, and I'm fresh as a daisy. No, but I guess when I went to rehab, you know, I finally realized, I'm like, God damn it, I've really fucked everything off. You know what I mean? Like, I was 28 years old. And like,
when was that?
98.
98.
Yeah. I was like 28 years old and I was in rehab, and that's the first time in prison, I never was like, God, I'm really fucking my life up. I swear I never thought that. That's what you're doing. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, it is what it is.
It never felt like, you weren't like, oh boy, I got to stop doing this.
Well, I mean, I would try to stop, you know, only because I wanted to stay out. No, but it's weird.
What do
weird.
You think was the main thing that would, or maybe, what did you get popped back for the most?
What I get arrested for the most?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, possession and under the influence, you know? Oh, usually always hand in hand, those two things.
Copy.
But, you know, if it was a small bag at that time, you know, it'd be a misdemeanor and shit, or like what they call a wobbler. So it could be a felony or a misdemeanor. But they, you know, you'd plead out. You always plead.
The rare yellow-bellied wobbler.
Yeah. It's a hillside gouger. Close cousin of the hillside gouger.
Yeah. What was the cornback rattlesnake you told me? Oh, God.
Parking a cornback rattler in that toilet. Yeah. But I can tell you this. Like, I think the other side of the coin, I was saying this the other night, like, but is I was much more content being busted, you know? Like, when I'm incarcerated, I don't have to fucking, like, you know, deal with human beings and deal with the way I feel. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
there's a certain amount of relief that comes with like when you're living the lifestyle that we're living, you know, like when you get busted, you're like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
You know, like, all right, I don't got to break in any, I don't got to boost nothing.
Yeah.
I don't got to go fence, you know, like, yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. Know? Also, you get a clean slate from the drug dealers. You got money to get out. Sorry. Yeah.
Oops.
I remember being excited about that. I was like, fuck, thank God I owed so-and-so fuck. You know what I mean? Like, because there's a weird forgiveness of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if you go to jail, they're like, ooh.
It's kind of a clean slate. Like, he owes me money, but fuck it, whatever.
Catch up on sleep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But also, you know, you go into the system. The system's kind of, the California Department of Correction, I should say, it's kind of set up for you to fail. Not like they're trying to set you up, you know, plant drugs on you or anything, but it's not super difficult. Doing time's not. I mean, it can be dangerous, but it's not dangerous every day by any means, you know? So it's weird. I think what it is once you've been there, Danny will attest, but once you've been like to the LA County jail, you're not scared to go to fucking anywhere else. That's the fucking gnarliest place there is, I think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you've lost the fear, like, you know, of a normal human being be like, fuck, I don't want to go to prison. You know, I had that feeling one time.
No, yeah.
But once you go, it's weird. It's like, not one, you're on parole, but it's like, it's hard to explain, but you know, you don't want to go back, but you kind of, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not the end of the world. It's like, Daniel, it's like when you're running, you know, that's just in the cards.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to get caught.
What was the sketchiest thing in prison that you experienced or saw?
What was the sketchiest thing I saw?
Or when you were scared the most?
You know, what's weird. The scariest moment I ever had in prison, nothing even happened, but we left Chino and they were sending us, we were doing a violation. I had like 17 points, which is a level one. Yeah.
Well, explain that just a little bit.
The prison levels are tiered. So there's level one, level being the lowest, level two, like you could be in a level one. It's just like chain link fences. You know what I mean? Like,
gotcha. Yeah.
Level four.
Security.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Level of security. Got
level three and four, you're in cells. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
With walls. Level one and two, you're usually in dorms. Well, the level two is like kind of split half. Like, I was in Old Folsom when it had been dropped to a level two. Traditionally, it was a level four, but it had turned into a level two in the 90s. But I had a violation. I only had about, 6 or 7 months left, I think, on a year I was doing. And I was at Chino and they sent a busload of us to Pelican Bay, but we didn't know it was Pelican Bay because the technical name isn't Pelican Bay State Prison. It's like, you know, Northern California Correctional Facility or some shit like that. Right,
but it's located at Pelican Bay.
It's
and that's what Denzel calls it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
He busted your ass all the way back to Pelican Bay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but we got to, we had a layover in the Corcoran Shoe, which was fucking terrifying. And so, so there's levels 1 through 4, and it's a point system, right? So.
And the shoe was the hole, just FYI, right?
The shoe was the hole.
Right.
But the shoe is a
solitary confinement.
Right. But that's a living quarters, but not necessarily solitary. A lot of shoes you have a cellie in. But you're doing time there. So you have a TV, you have, you know what I mean? Like magazines, blah, blah, blah. But you're in the cell 23 hours a day. But, It's technically the hole. I mean, I guess ADSEG is the hole, administrative segregation. That's where you would go immediately after you fuck something up. But you would get the term, you know, get the sentence and do the term in the shoe. And I never did a shoe term, but I had a layover in the Corcoran Shoe. And, dude, they pull us in there. And all the, you know, like Wasco, Delano, Corcoran, all those, like, Central California, they all look exactly the same. Exactly the same. It's like, you know, prefab concrete walls. You know what I mean? Like the yards are the same. Yeah. They're exactly the same. Mule Creek, mostly any prison built like since 1990, they all look exactly the same. And, but it, we're like, where the fuck are we going? You know? And finally somehow we figured out, but we're like, fuck, we're going to Pelican Bay. Like we're all like level ones and twos. You know, we're like, fuck, man. Cause you know what you think? You're like, fuck, everybody there is doing like fucking 50 years, you know, 100 years, life, all that shit. And you're like, well, fuck. I mean, I'm the dude with 6 months. If something's got to be done, they're going to ask me to do it. That's what you think, you know? But we had a layover in the Corcoran Shoe. So the bus pulls into the yard in the middle of the night. It's fucking raining. And the gooners come on. So there's CDC cops, right? California Department of Correction guards, who are like, you know, in the beige shirt, the green pants. They kind of look like a sheriff. And then some of them wear jumpsuits, you know? But the goon squad all wear jumpsuits. And the goon squad are like the SWAT team-ish, you know?
Yeah.
But like in this case, on the shoe yard, they all wear masks, like balaclavas, so you can't see who they are. And they come in, like three or four of them come in, and one of them's like, okay, when we'll take you off one at a time, and you'll stare, you know, completely at the sky. If you look anywhere but up, it'll be, you know, a sign of aggression. Shit, we're like, fuck. So it's like there's a cop in front of you, a cop behind you, and then the cop in the middle is holding you by the chin and the back of your head, right? And walking you out. And we spent the night in the shoe, but I remember this dude in the morning, this guy went to go to the shower, and he comes over to the thing, the cage where I'm at, and he's like, what's up, Wood? And he slides a kite under the door, right? So I open it up, and it's like, hey, bro. I don't know what you're here for. I don't know if they told you you're leaving soon, but don't believe them. And all this shit. I'm like, fuck. You know what I mean? I'm like, yeah. Am I stuck in this fucking shoe? You know? And this long letter. He just needed somebody probably to talk to or whatever, you know? And then that night they took us and moved us to Pelican Bay. But the scariest thing is in the middle of the night, like it was probably 11 p.m. when we got to Pelican Bay. And that bus. So, I mean, I'm telling you, like everybody's pretty much asleep. I guarantee you not many people were awake, you know?
Yeah.
And we pulled in there, and like it's the only time I'd ever. I'm like, man, you could fucking feel the tension at that place in the 4B yard. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, fuck.
Because for me, I would be afraid. I would be like, all right, if I'm going here with guys who are going to be here for like 50 or 100 years, like that's essentially a life sentence. Like unless you're fucking 10, you know.
Yeah.
Like if you're like that, they would have no reason not to kill me.
Right.
If they felt like I was being a, you know.
Well, I was only on the 4B for a few weeks, but, you know, like...
But maybe that's crazy. I don't know.
Well, no. You know what? There's an interesting thing about lifer. Well, life without parole is one thing, but somebody who has, like, a 25 to life, a 15 to life, 5 to life, 10... You know what I mean? That's a different thing. Because lifers, believe it or not, traditionally are trying not to get in any trouble because they want to be able to get out at some point, you know?
Oh, okay. And that means like a 10 to life, 15 to life person?
Yeah, a 10 to life, you're eligible for parole after doing 10 years.
So you want to be as good as possible so that you can get the fuck out possible.
Yeah, they weren't letting any of them out for years. And then the last like 5 years, now they're letting a bunch of them out.
Right.
Because when Gray Davis became governor,
he
changed the law. And now dudes are getting out. Like I have two friends who have gotten out on life. One had a 17 to life. He did like 23, I think. And then Fred, I think, had a 20 to life, and he did like 22 or 23. But you don't. At that time, I don't think you know. But the Pelican Bay 4B yard, that's not the case because it's all right. Like the dudes getting out of the shoe. So okay. There's dudes with life, but most people in that yard don't give a fuck. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
About anything. It's the most fucked up.
You could just feel it walking out there.
I felt it in the bus when we pulled the yard, and there wasn't even people awake. I was just like, oh, it's on at this motherfucker. You know what I mean? Like, and then they brought us and they put us in cells, and they were on lockdown, which, you know, when somebody gets stabbed or there's a riot or something, they'll put you on lockdown. So everybody's locked in the cells for days on end. You know what I mean? For 2-3 days. And that was the one great thing about that prison is like, so we got off lockdown like 2 days later, but within like 2 hours, somebody got stabbed and we were back on lockdown because drama happens between, you know, in those 3 days when you're in the cells, like, fuck, hey man, fucking Mike burned Danny, you know, Mike stabbed Danny, blah, 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 you know, okay, well, fucking somebody's got to stab Mike. It was that kind of shit.
So you're out for 2 hours and you basically got to make short work of whatever things you've been talking about for a few days.
Yeah.
And then get ready to get locked back down again, like tucked in again.
God damn it.
Yeah. And it was kind of like that, like the whole few weeks I was there. Then I went to level one yard, which was great. I mean, I hate to say great, but it's really beautiful. It's in the middle of the woods in Crescent City. You know, it's like it's 2 miles from Oregon or something.
Oh, wow.
It's far north.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I took the Greyhound home from there. It took 27 hours.
See, that would make me so much more nervous.
Did you get high on the bus? Did you find somebody? No.
That would make me so much more nervous. Like, I think being in a dorm rather than just being locked in my own cell, I feel like being in a dorm, I would be constantly afraid.
Of other people?
Of other people being able to get at me or whatever. Like, at least if I'm locked in the cell, like, I mean, they can get at you if they really want to get at you, but... passively get at you, it seems like it would be a safer place.
You're kind of correct in a sense, you know. I mean, like, but here's the difference. If you're in a dorm, it's a lower level of
criminal.
Yeah, because the points go like, fuck, I can't remember the rules from them. You start off with a certain amount of points, let's say 10. Okay, so let's say for Charlie, right? I'm not kidding you, this is how the point system works. Charlie's been to college, that drops off a point, right? Mm-hmm. Charlie's been to prison before. It adds 2 points. You know what I mean?
Charlie's blonde.
Yeah. No, Charlie's like, if you're a veteran, it knocks a few points off.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's like that.
Interesting.
And it's, but you know, there's dudes with 100 points and shit. If you got like fucking 50 years, you also get 2 points for each year, maybe, or something like that, that you have. But, and then as you get into trouble, it adds points. So, in a weird way, you know, the cell living is usually higher level inmates. You know what I mean?
Right, right, right.
But, you know, like, I mean, fuck, man. It's like, it's weird because you see, there's a lot of people in there who didn't know what, they got more than they bargained for. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Dudes who are drunk driving and shit. And next thing you know, they're in prison. You know what I mean? And it's like, there's no fucking, like, you know, if somebody's trying to, like, press you or some shit, you know, you got to stand up for yourself. So if it's like if it's a fucking big dude, I mean, you know, you're probably gonna want to get a knife, you know what I mean? Like, just common sense, you know. But now, you know, you're doing 2 years for drunk driving, but this guy's trying to make you look like a punk, right? So now what do you fucking book him? Now you get 10 more years or whatever the case may be. So now the drunk
book
driver
means
stab him. Soft candy means book him. Hard candy means kill him.
Wow. Got it.
Like, that's twisted.
Yeah.
Wow. But you ever feel like you were in a position of have to be choosing between soft and hard candies?
No. God. I never. I mean, I was politicking a lot and shit. I was young, you know, I was fucking in my 20s. So I hung out with, you know, like, whatever, you know, fucking troublemakers, kind of.
Yeah.
Not troublemakers, but it's, you know, you're in like groups and you're. If you're not like, the other thing that's weird is like, it's funny because a lot of people, like, one wrong move can get you sent to prison. Do you know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And a lot of people end up there behind drinking because, you know what I mean? You do shit when you're drinking that I don't even think, you know what I mean? Don't you agree, Danny?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Something you would do on speed, you might go steal fucking Charlie's lawnmower out of the garage, but you know, you're not going to fucking.
And then mow his lawn. Mow the neighbor's lawn. Yeah. Mow some lawns. We're mowing lawns.
Yeah. But, you know, when you wake up and you've like killed some fucking family in a drunk driving. That's booze. You know, yeah. I mean, you know, like,
yeah,
it's not like speed. Sure, I guess you could fall asleep from being awake too long, but you know, you're not gonna, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like it's, the
yeah, no, for sure.
But it's
you which know, is still crazy that like alcohol you can get you know
anywhere,
anywhere.
I mean, and it's it seems deadly. To me yeah. the most deadly to like and has the most fallout. You know, like yeah. the most fallout, the most like yeah. There's a lot of people who want. You know, the percentage of people who go to rehab is probably a fucking millifraction of the percentage of people who are just going to the hospital for organ failure because they've been career drinkers.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You know, it's not mm-hmm. like anybody, you know, maybe they never did hit anybody in a car. Maybe they never did anything like that. But, like, but their health, I mean, the studies say, right, like that the healthcare mm-hmm. costs of people who drink it.
Yeah,
I'm bumming well, myself out.
That's well, a healthcare cost, but you know,
God damn it.
When you like, it, it's weird. I mean, you know,
have a good show, guys.
I'm not, you know, it's like I don't like, I don't know, you know, like I don't know that alcohol is a gateway drug because a lot of people drink and only drink their whole lives. I don't yeah. know. I think that you know, like I don't know, man. It, that's a weird call, but I mean, I know yeah. this. Once you've passed the point of like outside of marijuana, which I don't think you're going to, you know what I mean? People don't traditionally do crimes
no,
because of pot unless they're like stealing pot plants. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
No. But you're not like, that's not when you're like, that's, you know,
there's a certain, there's enough like little bit of paranoia, even in like the yeah. most resolved, you know, even the most diehard stoner. It's like you, there's still a little voice that marijuana puts in your head. Just like, watch your step.
Yeah.
You know, there right. is that. Where yeah. where alcohol is always just like, go faster.
Yeah. Well, you know, like the, it's an interesting time because, you know, this homeless fucking thing is out of control here. You know, and there's yeah. fucking syringes all over the street and human shit and yeah. typhus outbreak downtown. And that's because, you know, they pass this law where they don't lock up, you know, nonviolent drug offenders.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and listen, I, you know, I'm in recovery and shit. And I'm the you need to lock them motherfuckers up. Because they're the ones doing the burglaries and robberies and all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like people don't decide like, well, you know, I might be a plumber or I might just be a guy who burglarizes houses. You know what I mean? It's not
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You get there out of desperation. So, but I don't, you know, a lot of people do that kind of shit. You know, like people get arrested for racking, like, yeah. you know, and fucking go to prison. It's like, and the thing, I just don't think that, I think a lot of, I've seen a lot of them, you know, like a lot of people end up in prison who aren't prepared for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if you're living the way Danny and I were, you know, it's kind of in the cards.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've both been to the county jail and shit like that. So it's, you at least have an idea of what you're getting into. But, you know, like, nowadays, like, these kids doing, like, fentanyl or fucking meth or whatever, you know, it's like, when they need it and they go fucking steal something, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And, you know, if they're fucking stealing something out of Charlie's car and Charlie runs out there and fucking, you know, they stab Charlie or Charlie stabs them or something, well, they go to prison. You know what I mean? Like, it's, people don't realize that. Like, if me and Mike come and rob this office, you know, and Charlie fucking shoots me and kills me, Mike goes to jail for murder. That's how the law works.
Mm-hmm.
You know right. what I mean? And people don't,
right.
people mm-hmm. miss that. And
why am I going? What's yeah. going on? What are we doing something tonight? What's going on?
I'm like getting hypothetically fucked up.
I know, exactly. I'm like, yeah.
But you know, like, I mean, like Danny and I know this kid. He's 22, and dude, he just beat a murder charge. I mean, he got really lucky. But like, him and his buddy went to rob some drug dealer, and at the Sherman Oaks Galleria, the drug dealer pulled out a gun. Our friend's buddy pulled out a gun and they shot each other. Both died, right, Danny?
No, just the dude. Just the drug dealer died.
But just the drug dealer did. Yeah. And right before the dude went into a coma, they showed him a picture of the dude we're friends with and he went, that's him. And then he went into a coma, so they charged this kid with homicide. Like, fuck. Dude, they didn't even offer him a deal.
Yeah.
They're like, you're getting life without parole. Like, there was no, like, take 30 years or we're going to, you know what I mean? And he ended up beating it. But I mean, he wouldn't survive.
No.
2 months. Oh, you know what no. I mean? Like, he's a nice kid, but he doesn't, like, you know, he's a little bit, he's a nice kid, but you don't, like, when you, not with that much time. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right, right, right. right
he's
right.
not going to live on a level 4 yard. You know, it's like, that people that are too easily impressionable, you know, young kids and
yeah.
and shit like that. Because, like, when you're in your, the other side to that coin, like there's dudes that are in there for, you know, maybe for whatever, maybe like, you know, if Mike went in there and mind his own business and fucking read books and shit like that and didn't bother people, you could do a term without ever getting in trouble. You know what I mean? It's like, it's weird, but not many people do that, you know?
Yeah.
Cause people are, the people that get are getting killed are like either over, you know, either a lot of them are, it's over debts, gambling or drug debts.
Yeah.
The majority I think are over heroin. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like pretty political, and you got to be the right kind of person who can, you know, have confidence and also do your own thing without
upsetting having people step anybody. On you. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you could follow
and
the
like
rules.
Have respect. Like people are like, all right,
yeah,
you're doing your thing.
If you follow the rules and don't, you know, you can't let anybody, you can't be a fucking pushover, but
yeah.
You can easily like do time and avoid it. But you know, if you're young, you can't really avoid it. You know
you
what
can't
I mean?
Avoid it. There's no
if you're in your 40s or 50s, if you're in your 20s, there's work to do, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And you get bored and you're like, oh shit, what's going down?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, what's popping?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's poppin'?
Hey, what's really going on?
Who got that crank?
I have a question, if I may. I really want to make sure we talk about this part because, like, what was your Phoenix moment? Like when did you start, like what turned things around for you? What changed your life?
Well, but the, you know, on the one hand, you know, it's like, cause
it's odd. I have to preface that by saying, not to interrupt you, but like, you know, you do things when you do them all the way.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like when you were going to prison for meth, it was like you weren't stopping. Like you,
right.
From what I remember, all the stories you've told me over the years and on this show, like you would get popped and you'd be like, boom, you'd get out and be like, it's on.
Yeah.
And you get popped, they'd be like, it is on again. You get popped again. Where some people would be like, I'm never going back to that. I could never do it. Now, I know most people, you know, and that's the trope I hate the most in shows about prison or even, and I don't know if it's true in prison, but really, is everybody there like those, are all the people who are running those places bucking, wanting you back? Like, you know, you always see that scene in movies when people leave jail and they'll be like, you'll be back.
Oh, those dudes. Like, you'll be leaving. I can't speak for fucking, you know, I can't speak for like prison, but leaving county jail, motherfuckers will be like, hey, see you next month. You know, like,
yeah. And that just like,
and it's the fucked up part is 90% of the cases, it's true, you know?
Right.
That's where the term becoming like institutionalized comes from, where it's like,
right,
dudes will get busted. And when you do a set amount of time, like when you start getting going in when you're at a young age, you just become accustomed to that. And like the outside world keeps doing its thing and you start politicking and you start getting in with dudes. Then you come out and you're like, I don't know how to fucking work. I don't know. You know, like I've had friends that, I had a friend that did like 2.5-3 years and he got out and like went to buy clothes and like could like fucking freaked out and was like, dude, like called me and was like, yo, like I need you to come help me because I don't know what's fucking cool anymore. I don't want to seem like a lame, you know, like think about that, because that's not, you know, like that's not the cards for you when you're fucking busted.
Danny got him a Limp Bizkit t-shirt.
Check this shit out right here.
Janko jeans. Yes. Get those Skechers. Those are the shit.
Yeah, Osiris. Yeah, there's some sick Osiris kids.
Nobody fucks with the jeans anymore.
So you went in and you know, you were a repeat offender and you had a commitment. You had a commitment to bad behavior.
Yeah.
That seems to mirror your commitment to your career and your craft. Now you're known as one of the fucking top stylists in the, and I mean, I can say this.
Yeah.
I'm not bragging you up. It's like one of the top stylists in the business. Like, it to me is what's one of the things that I've always been fascinated about you and always also kind of admired about you is like, dude, like not just to like come out and like get a job at like a 7-Eleven or come out and get like a job, like to come out and thrive and you know, and have
that
a wife
hustle
and a kid and all that. It's like, it just proves, it seems to me like that clear evidence of like, if you tweak, it's just like readjusting the compass, you know? Well, and then you're like, oh, you're made like Danny, you're one of the, like, everybody knows that you're like one of the best like resource people for the people who are in the AA community. And like, you sponsor people and you're great and people stay sober when they hang out with you. And, you know, and you have this great personality and super charming. And it's like, I wonder, I would be fascinated. I mean, don't, let's not repeat it. But I'd be fascinated to see what you were like all the way. But from the pictures, I'm like, he's going the distance. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's he's right. going the distance. And you've gone all the way the other way. So I don't know.
Well, I think.
What was it that turned it?
Well, my friends put me up and beat me up and put me in rehab. But I'll tell you what turned it is. I just had a chance. Because, like, it's like what Danny was saying. It's like you get out and you have to live life on life's terms, which people like Danny and I aren't that great with, you know, without being in some sort of a program. But the, you know, you get out and like, you're like, okay, what kind of dead end job am I going to get? You know, because at that time, now I think they don't even ask you if you've been arrested. But at that time, you know, have you ever been convicted of a felony? You know, yes.
Yeah.
Well, that nixes you from most things.
Yeah. Or set you up for them fucking getting kickbacks from you.
Yeah, something. You know, so
taking advantage of it.
But I think, like, I mean, you know, whatever you want, God, the universe or whatever looked out for me and put me into something I could do. Because I started as a PA. And, you know, at that time, it paid like $175 a day. And I'm like, this is fucking magical.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They feed totally. You and shit. And then I was just like, fuck it. I'm going to do whatever anybody asks me. I don't care. You know what I mean? I don't give a fuck what it is. I'm not going to complain. You know what I mean? I'm not going to bitch and moan. I'm going to figure it out. And then when I started wardrobe assisting, I assisted a bunch of really great people, quite a few of them, you know. I think in turn, because I was like one of the only guys and I could like carry like armor and shit. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah.
That kind of thing. And then when I met Frankum, he's really kind of the game changer because from working for David gave me my chance, but also David's shit is a little bit of another level, you know? So what I mean by that is David's not like, he's not going to settle, right? He'll be right. Like, okay, well, this needs to be this. Yeah. And they're like, most times you'll have something particular that, you know, he'll be like, let's figure this out. I
mean, he's a director.
Yeah.
Yeah. For those who don't know.
But with him, it's like, I had some of the craziest shit happen on one of his jobs. There's a kid wearing corduroy pants, you know, but a lot of it's from doing speed. You learn how to fix things and shit. Not that I could fix everything, but it's kind of like the magnets here with the job of Dave, with Shafi.
Yeah, yeah,
you know
what
I mean?
It's like that.
Like, I'm like, because I'm like, I see it and I know how much money we have to do it for and I just have to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go in there and tell Shafi or you or anybody. I'm not going to tell him I can't do this. I'm going to fucking figure it out. It might not be comfortable for the actor, right. But I'm going to fucking figure it out.
Yeah, right.
And with fucking Frankum, I'll never, like, God, this is a long time ago, but the kid had like vintage corduroys on, right? And I stepped in the motorhome and the AD had thrown a football to the actor. And I told him, I go, hey, don't be messing around with him in the wardrobe. He's got to change because it was lunch. And dude, I just closed the wardrobe door and all of a sudden I hear the door flies open. That kid steps in. That fucking AD threw the ball again and the kid's pants had ripped from the pocket to the ankle. They're vintage, brown vintage. I remember like it was yesterday, Levi's cords. And I'm like,
so Frankum didn't just take his pair of brown vintage cords off and give it to him?
Well, that was the thing. I'm like, I've got to figure this out.
Because I remembered
out.
A certain in that period.
Yeah, he was running
our
those.
Boy was not afraid of a brown cord.
Right. That's true.
Brown in general. In fact, a gal, I don't know if you know this girl, Andrea, used to, that was her nickname for David, was Brown.
No way.
Yeah, Brown.
That's amazing. Yeah. But I flipped him inside out, and I literally put him back together.
Oh,
and the thing that saved it, luckily, is they were corduroy.
Right.
So as long as I could line up the corduroys, yeah. I just had to sew it together there, and I was able to do it. But I was like, from that point, I'm like, you know what? I can figure anything out. Fuck this. You know what I mean? And I just kept doing that. And I think that alcoholism, you know, like the obsessiveness, I think helps in these jobs. You know what I mean? Like, I think because you're just obsessed with doing it. Don't get me wrong. People get lazy, you know?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
But you got to not get lazy and you got to like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to stand in here and be like, you know, fucking people gave me a chance. So like, if they're willing to pay my bills, I'm going to do whatever the fuck I can to make it happen. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
And I haven't yet had to say like, that can't happen. Never. Not once. And I know almost everybody who does what I do. Or like, we need an effects shop. Or you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That kind of shit. You know? So, I mean, I'm grateful. And I think, also, you know, like, I grew up the same time you did. Like, during the thrift store era and all that shit. So, luckily, I have a handle on a lot of, like, I know a lot about period clothes and stuff like that. But
are kids thrifting still?
I think it's a thing again.
Yeah,
right,
it's
Danny?
Back. Yeah.
It's
oh,
back
yeah.
again.
Sure. Dude, it's nuts. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay,
motherfuckers are selling shirts for like hundreds of dollars. You know,
really?
Vintage. Oh, yeah.
Like,
it's a big thing.
Like, what kind of vintage shirts?
Dude, like.
Like.
Like WWF fucking shirts, you know?
No way.
Yeah. Yeah. Huge.
Wow.
Yeah. Huge.
Yeah, yeah.
Old band. But WWF especially, you know? It's like, it's insane, you know? That's like, amazing. Motherfuckers are living off of it. They're
but
just
now they're
going,
like buying vintage 80s clothes, right? Like,
oh,
we
yeah.
were buying vintage 50s and 60s
oh, yeah.
clothes.
Like,
and now they're
dude,
buying
I'll
vintage 80s
on.
Clothes, which is why they're showing up looking like me.
And they'll literally, they'll go to like the bins
yeah.
at
right.
St. Vincent de Paul or like a
yeah,
Goodwill,
yeah.
like that one.
Yeah.
And these motherfuckers are there. They have their little AirPods in or whatever. And there's like a
I've
squad of them.
I've seen
and,
them. Yeah.
And they, as they roll out the bins, they're just like running up.
Really?
Like trying. Oh, yeah. Trying to get the, yeah.
Oh, wow.
They're making a living off of it.
That's
you know?
Great. Yeah. I like that.
I, yeah. You know, I respect the hustle. Like
yeah.
if you can figure out a way, like, if you can figure out a way how to not do anybody wrong and how to like not fuck anybody over, like
yeah.
I'm all about it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Why spend it all at the Stephen Allen sale where you can go and pick through someone's 80s laundry? That's what I'd wished I'd saved. I had just racks of clothes from that period of my life. And I remember being upstairs and my parents in the attic above my dad's office, and they had all been there, you know, because stuff had been moved, and I don't remember exactly why, but and I was looking at them, and I was like, God. And at that point in my life, it's just like, all you want to do is get rid of shit. You're like, ah, I want to be light. I want to be able to move. I want to just get rid of mm-hmm. stuff. And I was just like, ah, I'm never going to wear this stuff again. It's not in style. But somewhere in the back of my head, there was like, one day, people will want these, you know. I just knew it.
Yeah.
I was like, and yeah.
And now that day is gone.
Now that day is gone.
Yeah.
But anyway,
and they're gone,
and they're long gone,
and they're long gone. They're long.
Well,
gone.
Maybe they're out there in
yeah.
circulation.
Oh yeah,
out there
I'm
somewhere.
Sure. Yeah.
yeah, someone's picked them out, and
some hip kid
posted them on Instagram.
Stella is on a fucking Tinder date right
yeah.
now,
Tinder date wearing my Robert Palmer blazer.
Yeah. You might see an ad on Instagram for it.
Oh yeah,
see, that's
yeah.
my fucking
irresistible.
Jacket.
Well, where's Wager?
We need Keith back.
Yeah.
Keith?
He went to the bathroom.
He's dropping the kids off at the
pool. Is he unpacking?
He's in there filling
a
pie tin.
Tony's funny as fuck.
Dude, Tony's hilarious.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so.
We're back.
Where, yeah.
Excuse me, guys. What's that?
Keith's working through an injury.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. if you hear that rustling, that's the sound of him taking an ice bag and shoving it into his pants.
Yeah.
But yep. it's the continued adjustment and positioning and repositioning that's arousing.
I think we're on the wrap-up here with this.
Okay.
I do want to bring it back to, like, the genesis of the show in a way and find out how did you and Mike first meet?
Fuck. Me?
Through David.
Yeah.
Through Frankham?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
On a job or?
No.
No, socially.
Socially, yeah.
Because at the time, everybody was spread out everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, fuck, Shaffy was at HKM. Mike was at Spot Runner. Frankham
yep.
was at Smart. You know what I mean? Everybody's all out there.
Yeah.
But these guys, it was the same like as is now. They all fucking hung out all the time, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
When was I that? Used to hang out with them a lot too.
2000s?
Yeah.
Yeah. No one hangs out anymore.
No one hangs out.
No.
You hang out with Frank a lot, don't you?
No, yeah, we do.
Yeah.
But I mean, in the same way that, like, you know,
it's different.
A married guy with, you know, a 10
yeah.
year old daughter and, you know, me and whatever, life. And it's just, yeah. It's, I mean, it was pretty not back in the day when none of us had anything to do.
It was bananas.
We were
yeah.
inseparable. But yeah,
now
yeah. it's good that we don't hang out as much as we used to because I wouldn't
yeah.
have a job. I'd probably be homeless. You know?
Yeah. Living in Frankham's limousine in
yeah.
the driveway.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, fun.
Go ahead.
No, it's like a bunch of us used to hang out a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, weird, you know, shit happens. Like, some people, like, you know, some people just disappeared.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Lauren Jesse kind of quit. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. People have kids, get married.
People have kids.
All that shit, you
yeah.
know? Yeah.
And when did you first meet Russian Danny?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, a few years ago. I've been sober like a little over 4 years,
right.
almost four and a half.
I'd say I've probably known him for 3 years.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know you for a while, but like I was telling these guys about fucking CRLA
uh-huh.
earlier. he was asking me, he goes, okay, because I was telling him about the fraud and all that shit. Mm-hmm. And he goes, it was a good question, but he's like, but does the place actually help people? And I'm like, as much as I'd want to say it doesn't, it does.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, you know, you, Reno, fucking Mosey, fucking
DJ, you know, I mean, tons of people. It's insane. For
how crazy it was, because it's probably the craziest fucking rehab in the history of rehabs. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people got sober there.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Rocco,
Sasha. Like, I mean, it's just, it's crazy. Yeah. You know?
What made it so crazy there, by the way?
Danny?
Yeah. What, like, if the one, you know, one major thing or whatever.
But the fucking owner
doing
meth is what really made it crazy, you know?
Got it. Yeah. Got it. You don't do that at rehab.
No.
Got it. Okay. Cool.
But what's crazy is there's a bunch of footage, because that's the way that I came into that place, was I was like told, like, oh, like, we can get you a scholarship if you agree to do this documentary thing, you know, where like that was where that footage of me shooting up was.
Came from. Oh, wow.
And so there's a bunch of footage of him that he had shot that he was going to make into his documentary, that then when he got busted, like, I think the production, I worked for, there was a record label there, and I think like the lady that ran the record label still has hard drives at the rehab. Dude, there was a record label, a coffee shop. Yeah. It was nuts. You know, he was going to open a fucking auto fucking mechanic. Like, it was, he had a whole thing, you know, in Denver, he had like a satellite center there that had like its own coffee shop art fucking space. You know, it was nuts.
Jesus. He's like the Batali of rehab.
Yeah.
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 But it's weird. Like, cause the dude, fuck man, it's weird.
And a creepy dude with a weird little beard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
and a lot of dandruff.
Yeah. Cool. Well, for It's All Bad, what was the first time you guys talked about starting a podcast?
I remember Wager and I talking for years.
Storytelling.
Like, we would be telling these stories, usually with like Frank Moran, Schaff, you know, and like our friends, and we'd be telling these stories. And then eventually at the end of the, you know, someone would say, you guys got to do something with these stories. And I was I speak for myself, but I was always dubious. I was like, because it didn't feel like, I'm like, what, I'm going to sit around and tell my stories? Like, you know, at the age I was at the time, like, it felt very self-aggrandizing. I was like, whatever. I'm like 32. Like, what the fucking cares about what I've done? And then time went by. And then I think, I don't know, you guys then talked about it, right?
Me and
you,
Danny. Yeah. And then, because I was like, because Danny's a fucking great story. And I was like, fuck, there's just too. And it's like,
we went out to Covina.
We took a tour of Covina out there.
Looking at that, I was like, this is a trip. We should make something. We wanted to figure out what to make. And it's like, this makes so much fucking sense.
The 90s in Los Angeles is the shit I was showing. And the 90s is really when the whole fucking county went off the rails.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it, everything got worse. And now, I mean, now I think it's even
probably
worse than it's ever been. You know, with the fucking fentanyl and all that shit.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, and then so when you guys met, did you guys started talking about it, right?
Me and Danny met, and then I don't know, and then I'm sure I told him a story. He told me neither of us ever shut the fuck up. So, but then I was like, fuck, we got to get Danny on here too. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and this is great. Yeah. So many great storytellers you guys just know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's some great ones.
And then,
I mean, and it's crazy to think that we're like sitting here now with these like nice microphones.
Yeah,
you know? Dude, I remember Charlie, the first fucking thing I edited. I wasn't there, but it was you guys recorded on, I think just Mike's iPhone on the table.
We did one iPhone, and then we're like, hey, we're gonna do this better. We're each gonna have our own iPhone in front of us.
Yeah, that was
advanced.
That'll learn them.
Yeah.
And we didn't even get like the fucking, we didn't even use like a head, like an iPhone headset, you know, which would have been great.
Oh,
you know,
that's
that
right.
That just made too much sense.
Oh, yeah.
It's just flashing. But
table talking.
But it was great.
Table talk. Yeah.
It was great. And
here we are now. This is episode, what, 20?
No, this is 19. 20 is coming shortly, though.
Yeah.
19.
Stay tuned for 20. We got some good guests.
Sweet 19. Should I get a photo of Keith for this episode?
Yeah.
He's sitting there?
Yes.
That would have been smart for the other ones.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Oh.
Well, yeah. Well, thanks, Keith.
Yeah, thank you.
And thanks for listening, everybody.
Tune in
next week for some new episodes, some new guests. We'll have guests back. Yeah. Got some insane stories. Some pyromania. Some some more PCP. Some.
The best is, yeah. I get here, Mike goes, what is Chris Davis?
I just wanted to know. Yeah. No, he's a very fascinating person. I definitely found him.
We got to bring him back.
Yeah, he's got to come back. I know, I guess he wasn't feeling, he had been coming off a bad cold.
He was like, I don't know why I'm here. He's like, I don't know what the fuck. Keith just told me to show up. He's like, I don't fucking, I've just been in bed for 2 weeks. What the fuck are we doing here? I just told Keith I'd show up.
That's pretty fucking good impersonation.
Did he say that?
I just told, that's so true. He's such a strange combination of like, kind of like, just Foghorn Leghorn meets De Niro in Ronin.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You're just like, you seem like a pretty chill guy, and those are cute saddle shoes. I'm pretty sure you could take that belt off and fucking kill me with it.
Oh, yeah. Probably fucking all of us.
I was just like,
He has the coolest tattoo I've ever seen.
Which one?
The fucking, the Colonel, the KFC Colonel wearing a Devo hat.
Oh yeah!
Wow!
Yeah,
that is.
I'm like, why'd you
strong,
get that? He's like, because I like fried chicken and I like Devo. That's why.
Fucking that is that's strong. Great,
dude. It's so good.
I like fried chicken and I like Devo.
We should get him and Reno on together.
Oh man,
stand.
We have a few episodes remaining this season, and then we're done, right?
Yeah.
What did we say?
I don't
we're
know how many
it?
Exactly. But
what are we gonna say?
At some point, we'll call it season one.
Yeah.
We have some guests we want to get. I don't know if we can say them all. We'd love to try to get Jerry Stahl to come on.
Yeah.
Jerry
will come on.
Gilbert.
And Danny.
And possibly Danny Trejo.
Yeah.
If I can
say
that.
Going out with a bang. Yeah.
If Gilbert agrees to come, Danny will come. Yeah. It's that simple.
Reno, Alexis. And we'll have a live show at some point, so stay tuned for that.
Devin wants to come back on, too.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he
Devin.
Does.
Yeah.
Let's give him a little time to thaw out. Yeah.
Why, is he fresh out? Is he fresh out?
Yeah.
Oh, no, is he firing on all cylinders?
No, he just went on a little, you know.
Wing ding?
Yeah.
Oh.
3 day wing ding.
Oh, boy.
But he's like, dude,
just rubbing
all the time. He's like, all the time, he's like, man, I got to come back on there. I fucking got way better stories.
Oh, yeah.
He's beating himself up. No, he's amazing. Well, thanks for listening. All that and more to come. You can follow us on Instagram at itisallbad or email us if you want to come on the show or have anything you want to say to us. The email is itisallbadpodcast@gmail.com.
itisallbadpodcast@gmail.com.
It is all bad.
That's right.
Podcast.
Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe.
Share with
Give
your friends.
Give us some reviews.
Yeah, reviews. Reviews are the best, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And if anybody has any ideas about how I can up my number of Instagram followers, I looked at it last night and it's like I'm a 13-year-old boy. I don't understand.
It would be high
if you were a 13-year-old boy. Yeah.
You have like 10,000 followers.
It's like I'm an 1,000-year-old boy. I don't understand it. I'm like, I seriously went down that fucking rabbit hole last night. I can't believe it. I was like, this motherfucker said what? What the hell is that? That guy's a dick.
I think I have like 2,000 followers, but yeah, like literally 1,000 of them are just like, you know, dudes from other countries. Just, I'm like, yeah, sure.
You know, oh, like, dude, the full on, you say yes.
Yeah, come for the ride.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
All right. Keith, what are we going to call you? What's your nickname for this? We got Russian Danny and Uncle Mike and Keith.
Dude, Lugnut.
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 What was that, your prison name?
Yeah.
Lugnut.
Lugnut Loco.
Lugnut Loco.
Oh, God.
No one's going to know what we're
talking
about.
Or my traditional nickname, Risky.
Yeah, Risky.
Risky Keith.
God, my hip is...
What was your prison nickname, Danny?
I didn't have one. I never went to prison.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, what was decaf? Just a nickname?
No, that was my graffiti name.
That's your graffiti name.
Yeah.
After sperm.
Decaf or decaf?
Decaf. D-E-K-A-F.
One of the best names D-E-K-A-F. I've ever heard. One of the best nicknames I've ever heard in my life is decaf.
At first, it was D-K-A-F.
Yeah.
And then I got transferred to Fairfax, and I like, we had like a substitute teacher that left the room. So I like walked up and I was like, I'm gonna show everyone what's up. And I caught like a tag on the board with a marker with like a streak marker, you know, which kind of looks like chalk, but it's not, you know? So then like the fool would try to wipe it off and it wouldn't wipe off. And then everybody would clown the substitute, you know? So I go and I write my name on the board and this dude just starts mad dogging me, you know? And after class, he comes up to me, he goes, hey, you from DKA? And I was like, what? And he goes, yeah, you from D. I saw you hit that shit up. And I was like, wait, what? I was like, no, I write decaf. He goes, no, motherfucker, I saw you hit up DKA family. Because that's like a tag-banging fucking neighborhood that he had beef with, you know?
Oh, shit.
And he's all holding like a, and he's holding a, back to the last episode's theme, he's holding a number two pencil in his fucking hand, you know? And he was going to stab me with the fucking pencil, you know? Oh, and then we became really, and then he was like, oh, whatever, you know? We became really good homies.
And how did you just convince him? You were like, no, dude, no, it's not, that's my nickname. No, my nickname is DKA.
He just kind of gave up, and then we just started smoking weed together. There you go. We had some good times.
It's Danny building bridges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bridges. All right. I got to run.
All right, everybody.
Later.
All right. Good night.
Later, Keith.